minister to each one of us individually. Please help me to get out of the way and to just speak your word clearly and effectively, God. Please help us to just see your word come alive in our lives. And please help us to find practical applications of it as well. God, I thank you again for this day. Amen. Amen. Okay, so just to premise it, personally, I've struggled with my thoughts the most out of anything. A lot of kids struggle with like their actions and things that they do, but my battle has been in my mind. So I don't know about you guys, but like sometimes do you feel like your brain is like a tornado? Like all you're thinking, like you're thinking these thoughts all the time and they're conflicting, and then you're like, shoot, like I can't even function today. Like I don't know about you guys, but that's how I feel. So what we're gonna do right now is think of one word or two words that defines when you have chosen, like, when you have chosen the flesh over, like, what you know is right. Okay, that sounds confusing. Okay, so the theme this week is choosing, you're choosing between two things, right? So what are some thoughts that are not choosing Christ? So I'm going to start writing what I struggle with, and hopefully that will make it a little bit clearer what I'm trying to say. So what I want you guys to do is think of them and say them, and I'm just going to write them on the board.
Comparison.
Choosing your flesh over Christ and what you know is right.
Selfishness.
to think, like, okay, I may have only said, you know, like one or two, but look at all the other stuff that applies to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just you who's struggling with these thoughts. It's everyone else too. So just take a second and look at them and let them sink in and be like, oh man, that's, oh man, that's me, and that's me, and that's me. So what I want to do from here is, okay, we've written this stuff on the board. These are our thoughts. This is what we're dealing with. Now how, this isn't how we deal with them, but how do we deal with them? So first, I want to turn to Genesis 6:5. Feel free to turn there too, so you can get, you might have a different translation, or it's also just really good to look to the Bible and not just listen to what speakers are saying. Get some backing on them. Okay, so Genesis 6:5 says, I'll give you guys a second to turn there. Says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And what does inclination mean? Does anyone know? What was it? Drawn to? So like a tendency? So I'm going to reread that verse, replacing it, the inclination with tendency, or drawn to. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every tendency of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And that's so scary for me, because I'm like, shoot, that's my tendency. Every inclination, every single tendency of the thoughts of my heart are, have the potential of being evil all the stinking time. So it's like, that is our sin nature. This is our sin nature all the time. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I wake up and it's like, I can tell it's just going to be a battle all day long with my mind. It's like, you feel like you're suffocating. You really do. So it's like, I don't want this all the time, you know? And that is our tendency. So coming to that point of weakness and being like, wow, this is not what I want every single day of my life. It's like, how do we move on from there? Like, Christ has given us the opportunity to be free from all of this. So we're going to flip to Romans 8:5-7 next. And basically, Romans 8:5-7 is outlining like the two choices that we have between. All right. So Romans 8:5-7 says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." So we're given two options here. Basically, we can live according to our sinful nature and live in death. And this is death right here. This, I don't look at any of this and say, oh, sweet, except for my name. Sorry, it's just confusing me. I look at this and I say, man, that is just, that's death. That is death. So you can either live, you know, by your sinful nature, and that is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So what do you guys think the mind controlled by the Spirit looks like? Like, what does that look like in your life? Feel free to just shout it out if you have anything. How do you get to that? That's the question. That's the question. Can you have something?
If you're like totally immersed in God and like have his mindset, like what you said, you don't really have any worries because you know that he's going to take care of you.
That's solid. But that's hard. It's so easy, like especially for us who grew up in the church. It's like, oh yeah, like I'll just read my Bible all the time or pray. And oh yeah, like I'll fix it on Christ and he'll transform my life. But it's like, how does that look in your life? Like, what are ways that you can do that? Like, be super intentional. You know what I'm saying? Like, just that's something that all of us have to ask ourselves. Like, what does living in the Spirit look like for me? Because that's where true peace comes from. So, yeah. The next place that I want to flip to is 2 Corinthians 10:5. Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I'm going to read it one more time. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And also, you know, like people say, take captive of your thoughts, but what does that look like? So for me personally, I'll give you like an example of what I do. It's really weird, but some days I can like feel it all the time. So, okay, I'll highlight one that I wrote. Okay, so insecurity, I wrote this one. So I struggle with this one a lot. So insecure thoughts, like, oh shoot, like, are they looking at me? Are they seeing what I'm doing? Like, are they seeing my service? Or are they seeing like how good I'm being with this or this or this? You know, like, those thoughts are like always in here, like all the time. And that's the one that I struggle with the absolute most, and it's a nightmare. Like, honestly, it drives me crazy. But like when I feel those thoughts like coming in, I'll just kind of go like, it's almost like it's literally hitting me, because I'll go, and I'll like swallow real quick and be like, God, please like take it away. Like that's like that 2 seconds of like, all right, I'm going to pray right now. And it's like I take captive of it by like almost like squeezing my brain a little bit and being like, and then swallowing and closing my eyes. And that's when I'm like, all right, focus, like get it out kind of thing. So that's a weird, I think it's a very different way of taking captive of your thoughts. But do you guys have any like, not strategies, but ways of being like, this is not from Christ, like, God, like, take it, you know, like, taking captive of that thought and having Christ be like, oh, like, take it out. Yeah.
I don't necessarily do the same thing, but I'll just, like, kind of talk to myself and tell myself to, like, stop thinking while you think about that.
Legit. So do, is it, like, a verbal thing or, like, in here?
Well, I'll, like, just, like, speak to myself and just, like, you know, just, like, sit there.
Be like, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Yeah, totally. That's good. Does anyone else have anything like that? How do you take captive of your thoughts?
Yeah. One of the things I found helpful is it talks about in the verse, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so there's kind of this battle between what I'm feeling and what God says is true, you know? And so I think you know, we all allow ourselves to be influenced, you know, by a lot of various things. And so I think the degree to which we allow ourselves or discipline ourselves to be influenced by the Word of God and to have His truth in us, you know, and so in those moments when we wrestle with what we're feeling or what we're thinking, we can take that thought captive and say, is this true, you know, and then to compare that with what God's saying in His Word. And then we can kind of see it more black and white. Okay, this is what I'm feeling. This is what God says is true. And be able to make that choice.
That's sweet. Yeah, like memorizing those scriptures that are like, so for those moments of like intrusion of the thought, it's like, boom, you have something to combat it with, you know, instead of just being like, oh, yeah, like, whatever. So, yeah, anyone else have anything?
I usually do this one.
More of them.
But, like, if I have, like, have to take my thoughts captive, I, like, literally, like, take it from my mind, like, throw it out. Like, okay, this is not going to be part of my day. So, like, this, yeah, it's more of, like, that's what I do.
Do this for you. Did you have one, too?
So, it's, like, something that my mom used to say to me, like, when I was a kid, I was struggling with all this other stuff. She told me that if it's true, like what they're saying, if it's not true, then why are you worried about it? Like, just throw it out. Like, it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been like. The things I've been saying in my mind is just like, is it true? Then if it's not true, then why are you worried about it?
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Like, for me, I'll get fixated on stuff. I overanalyze way too quickly. Like, way too quickly, and I'll literally like stew on the dumbest things like all day, and be like, yeah. And then I'll start to look at people differently, and instead of, I mean, even if it's like the most minute things, it's like, I can let those absolutely consume my entire thought process of everything, and it's like, I'm blowing this like little thing way out of proportion, and it's like, you have to come to the realization, like, this is ridiculous, and just be like, God, like, take it away, because otherwise you're just going to be like, have anything for taking your thoughts captive?
It's just so important to like daily pick up your cross, follow him, and like spending that time with him, like in worship or reading the Bible, especially, because then you put yourself up. That's how you put yourself up with the truth, and because it comes like for me, it comes all the time, like right now, even speaking. And I gotta all the time just spit out like, no, it's not true, it's not true. I think with repetition, because it's a daily picking up your cross, that's, because sometimes when you still come at it with verses, and you still feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think it's just, you gotta keep on doing it, keep on doing it. Because, to be honest, like, all of us Christians, gonna be okay.
Mm.
But that doesn't, I don't know. And sometimes we still aren't impacted by that.
Okay. Lewis, did you have something? So I'm going to hit one more verse really quickly, and it's Isaiah 26:3. Keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And that's the New Living Translation. So I'm going to read it again, just because this verse is so comforting to me, because there's just so much wholesomeness in this verse. So I'm going to read it one more time. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. When I come back to insecurity or self-worthlessness or jealousy or guilt or anything up here, this clearly is not perfect peace, and this is not what we want. I mean, we all struggle with it, and we're aware of it, and we're like, man, this is like a nightmare. But Isaiah 26:3 is talking about, we'll keep perfect peace if we trust in Christ and our thoughts are fixated on him. So what helps me, like, I don't know, I guess an analogy for this verse would be, okay, so I like gardening. Not necessarily the best at it, but okay, so like if I'm picking at weeds and I'm not getting the root, I'm just treating the symptom and not the cause. Does that make sense? So, like, if you're like, oh, think of positive things, like, get that thought out of here. It's where's the cause? The cause is that my eyes and my thoughts are not fixated on Christ. So turning that back around and not being like, does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So treat the cause rather than just the symptoms. Pull the root. And it's not like, oh, I have my eyes fixated on Christ, I'm never going to go through anything rough ever again, because that is most definitely not the case at all. But it's like, that's where you'll find perfect peace in those moments of like, God has me. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, it's a peace that you will never, you can't compare it to anything else. Like, we try to fill it with other things, but it's like, Christ gives us perfect peace. And that doesn't mean every single day I'm going to be like, sweet, like, I'm not struggling with insecurity today. Like, it's a good day. Like, every day, because it's not. It's where you go through those battles and those fights that Christ is like, here's my perfect peace. Like, I'm going to carry you through this. He brings you to a place of like on your knees being like, I cannot do this. And then he's like, boop, carry me and take you. So does that make sense to you guys? Cool. And does anyone else have any verses or anything that they're like, dude, this is what is really beneficial for me when I'm struggling with my thoughts? Does anyone have any of those verses that they think are like super sweet that they want to share?
Whatever is true, whatever is honest.
sometimes verses that are like used a lot are you're like, oh yeah, whatever, Philippians 4:13, chapter 6, whatever, whatever. But like if you actually like look at it, it's kind of, you know, it's common for a reason. It's so good. It's so good. I mean, every verse in the Bible is great and awesome. It's God inspired. But like those common verses, sometimes you just push them off to the side really quickly. But actually, like look at them and look at them in a new light, in a new way. So that's good, Abram.
So every verse that kind of like reinforces like what we're talking about, it's not like something that like the whole universe is like, something that says like this is true and then you just like work on it. Or like Romans 7:8-17, and it says, I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
So true. I think coming to that realization is also extremely important. You know, not being like, oh, I'm so great, I'm so awesome, I'm so, you know, like, nothing can hurt me. When you're weak, that's when Christ shows his strength. That's Romans 7:18.
Thank you.
be like, I gave you guys these four verses, but like,
oh,
not four. But like, look at, I mean, and if you keep looking, there's going to be tons and tons and tons. So I want you to just realize that like, go to the God's word, go to God's word, and also like, go to each other too, and like, learn from these things and be like, hey man, like, I'm struggling with like, my mind is a battlefield today right now. Can you please pray for me, or like, point me to like the word and be like, here, let's read this verse together because I'm struggling too. So I think you guys just like, community is so important, but like, don't take it for advantage, and like, find that community as well, if that makes sense to you guys. Like, find those brothers and sisters in Christ that you can like, learn from, and like, iron sharpens iron, and it's so true, you know? Like, you'll go through these stages where you're like, shoot, like, I don't have enough community, and I'm feeling it right now. So like, lean on each other, but first of all, lean on Christ and his word. So I guess that's all I have for you guys, but if you have anything else, like, feel free to talk to each other and talk to us. I mean, you can talk to anyone on staff here, and we'd be more than willing to talk to you about it and pray with you for it. So, does anyone want to close us in prayer? If not, I can do it. All right, I'll close. Oh, yeah, anyone?
Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord, and how you redeemed us, Lord, and how you saved us from sin and from hell, Lord. And we got to spend eternity with you, Lord. And I just pray that we would just really believe that, Lord. Really hope that to really impact us, Lord, that when we're going through a battle in our minds, or that we could just hold on to you and just really know what you think about us and the truth, Lord, that we will be all right, Lord, and one day we'll be in heaven with you. No more pain, no more anxiety, no more scary, no more doubts, no more anything bad, Lord. We'll be with you forever, Lord. And I pray that you just help us to know that we're loved by you, Lord. Nice to meet you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.